Look at the live from the heart of Los Angeles. We'll this is the at-home edition of the Life Changes Show. Look at the night sky. With tonight's guest, motivational speaker, coach, and retired NBA player, Tyrone Nesbitt. And musical guest, Ilana Lorraine. I am Mark Legere, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Woo! I am excited about today's show. There's so much energy in this room right now, on the phone, on the line, and across the world, actually, because our guest is calling in from Pennsylvania. We're in Los Angeles, and our musical guest is calling in from London, England. And I know people are listening from all over. And I have to say, this show is big because of the conversation, but because of the people that are bringing this conversation forward. I have to say, I was inspired as I got to know more of our guest's story, and even more so when I heard how he's sharing this story and inspiring young athletes and young and up-and-coming humans and members of society and part of our elevated civilization. I can't wait to get into this conversation. I'm going to keep this short because I'm looking forward to bringing on our guest, Tyrone Nesbitt, and a little later on, our musical guest, artist and songwriter, Ilana Lorraine, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
Have you felt inspired to meditate, but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety, but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi Beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi Meditation. Phi Meditation helps you harness the power of I Am, or intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, Beads.com. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with your host, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows on our archive page at LifeChangesShow.com, which include luminaries such as comedian Michael Collier, actress Gabriella Wright, performing artist James Hood, and author Ken Honda. Email your comments and questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. You can also comment via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
Life changes indeed. You know, at the end of the show, we say, if your life has changed like ours surely did tonight, mine already has, just in getting to know these two. We've titled the show, Doing It for the Love of the Game. We'll explain that more in a minute. I am Filippo Voltaggio, host here online with our co-host and producer, Mark Legere.
I can't wait for this conversation. It's been a long time coming. I had the good fortune of meeting Ty in a gym in Las Vegas, and it just goes to show you how we just don't know people, and we don't take enough time to get to know people. And it was a very short conversation that opened doors and lit a spark. It was very clear to me very quickly what a special man he is and the work that he's doing, and I'm grateful that he's on with us tonight.
Well, with that, once again, we've titled this episode, Doing It for the Love of the Game, based on some words that Tyrone has said.
He's a basketball coach. He's a retired NBA basketball player. He's emotional, a motivational speaker, and an all-around good guy. Welcome, Tyrone Nesby, to the Life Changer Show.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a pleasure already just getting to know you and reading up on you and listening to you talk. And you have said so many things that have inspired me, and I'm sure inspired everyone. One of the things I asked you at the very beginning, I thought, where does some of this come from? And interestingly, you said it might come from your mom. Now, I don't know how that happened, because later on you said you were the 14th child of 14 kids. So, yes. So if your mom had time for any one of you at any one time, I don't know how that might have happened.
I think I got lucky. I think she waited to have that last one, and I think the light came on me. So I think the halo was around me. So I appreciate it.
You know, I think it's wonderful to hear you talk like that. The halo was around me. Think of those words from somebody who decidedly came from not very much money and means, right?
Exactly. I mean, we grew up not really having too much. You know, my mom did a great job on like educating us and getting us to understand that you don't have to have all these things to enjoy life. Mm. She said that she always said you appreciate it more when you work for it. Mm. And it's true. You know, I did appreciate a lot of things once I went out and worked for it. But being young and watching a lot of kids, you know, have like new shoes and new clothes, they always going shopping. And, you know, we didn't shop that much. A lot of my clothes came from secondhand stores. And but I treated them clothes like they was brand new clothes. Mm. That's what I knew. She had us believing that, you know, because that's all she can afford. I mean, my dad died when I was 11 years old. So, so at the same time, I mean, she did a great job on having us to believe that, look, these clothes are just as good as new, you know, and we never looked at her like she didn't work hard to do what she had to do to make us, you know, make me who I am today.
Well, you shared some things your mother used to say, and follow your heart really struck me in the heart. What do you think she meant by that? Or do you know exactly what she meant by that? Obviously, well, you did.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, I was very different when it comes to my family. You know, I mean, still to this day, you know, I never drink. I never smoked in my life. Never done drugs in my life. You know, I stayed away from that. She always would tell me to follow my heart, because I always told her that that I wanted to be an athlete, you know, and I didn't have the skills at the time. So, you know, people would tell me, like, what are you doing? And why are you playing this sport? You're not good enough for this sport. And she always say, just follow your heart. That's what your heart say you're going to, you know, you want to be a ball player, then believe and continue following what you believe. And that's what I did. And behold, you know, I end up turning out being a professional basketball player.
Yeah. With the NBA.
Yes.
With Michael Jordan. And this goes on.
Yes. So
people
it was
indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was a good journey, man. I mean, just being humble, you know, she teaches just to be humble, stay humble. I'm like, I mean, anybody who knows me, know that I'm very, very, very humble. I try to focus on what it is that I need to do to leave something, you know, for my kids, you know, in a sense of working hard and, you know, trying to own things and try to set the example for them. So when they grow up, they can look at that and hope to, you know, learn from what I've done.
Well, lucky for your kids and lucky for many kids, actually, because that's not just the what you want to leave for your kids, but what you want to pass on to all the athletes that you coach, from what I'm understanding. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But I have to say, you just said something about not smoking and not drinking. And then we talked about being in the MBAs. And that's high pressure, and you know, so there's a lot going on there. It's very, so there's stress and all that stuff. So how does one make it through the stresses and the pressures of all that?
Go bowling. That's what I do. I like to bowl. I like to shoot pool. I mean, that's what I did on my downtime. Wow. I was not a club person, so I never really go out to clubs. That was something I didn't really get into. I just really honestly just stick with what it is, stick with the goal. I mean, the goal is trying to be the best player you can be. So anytime that I had time to get into the gym to get better, I did that. But any downtime, I go bowling and shoot pool.
You see, this just speaks to the title of the episode, Doing It for the Love of the Game. You love still the game.
Yes, I do. I actually just got done playing in the 40 and up league tonight.
Like just tonight, right? Before the show.
Yeah, right before the show. I just was rushing back here to jump on the show, but I just got done playing tonight. I'm 45 years old and I love the game, and the game had changed my life. For kids that are listening, you know, my first girlfriend was the basketball. That was my first love, was the basketball. It still is my love. You know, I love to have that ball, and that ball have shown me so much. I have met a lot of people through that basketball, and I met a lot of good people too as well. So I think if, you know, like I said, kids are listening. One thing you have to do in order to be the player that you want to be, and this is in any sport, it's not just basketball, it's in any sport. Believe, number one, you got to believe that you can do it. That's the first thing you need to do, is believe what you can do it. And once you start believing that you can do it, then go out and work on it and continue working on it. Some people like to put their expectations on you. No, you create your own expectations. Don't let people put their expectations on you to tell you what you can do and what you can't do. So, because one thing I learned is that, you know, I talked to a lot of people when I was growing up that never played the game, but they have all the answers on how to play the game. Mm-hmm. And then also, a lot of them never went that far in the game, so they only can teach what they know. Mm. So if this person who's talking to me, if they only made it through high school and that's it, then they only going to teach what they know. Mm. So you got to expand that. But at the same time, believe, you know, create your own expectations. It doesn't matter if you're 5'2", 5'5". I played with a couple of this guy named Earl Borkins, was on my team. And when I was with the Clippers, he was 5'6", 5'5", 5'6".
Wow.
He's in the NBA. Muzzy Bowl was another short guy that was in the NBA. I mean, so don't let your height control, your thought on if you can play or not. It doesn't matter with your height. It's as long as you believe and you got a strong heart, continue working.
So here I was listening to you say things like that, and you were on one video talking to kids, on one video talking to parents, and I thought, wow. And the fact that you could talk about it from so many different sides, I thought to myself, he not only knows the game, he loves the game, and I wish I knew more people that loved life as and knew life and knew themselves as much as all that. And then you and I got to talking, and I thought, well, wait a minute, that's what you're really talking about. And then you went and said these words, it's bigger than basketball.
Yes. It is. It is bigger than basketball. And I say that it's bigger than basketball because basketball is what brought us together. Mm. So that's, you know, when I see a kid in the gym with me, basketball is what brought us together. So we know why we're here. All right. So now let's take this farther than basketball. For example, you know, you get around a lot of kids. Every kid is not fortunate enough to have both of their parents. There's a lot of kids that's not fortunate enough to be able to go to these AAU basketball tournaments, all these big camps. Some kids' parents don't have the money for that. My parents didn't have the money for that. So I understood that. So when I'm speaking about bigger than basketball, it's now it's like, what do you want to do with this? Are you going to use this to get out of the situation that you're in? Mm. That's what I did. My parents didn't have the money to pay for me to go to college. I knew I can use basketball to go to college. And I did. I took advantage of that. And I used it to get my education as well. And so that's why I say it's bigger than basketball, because you get a free education, you get a scholarship, you get a free education. You got to use that to your advantage. You know, so when I'm out here teaching to these kids and also building relationships, you know, you got kids that will continue coming back to you, talking to you because you was a great coach. You got so many different styles of coaches. You know, and I just happen to be one of them guys that I told the kids, don't even call me coach, because I'm bigger than a coach. I believe I do way more than what a coach title is required for you to do. Mm. So I don't like to be called coach. So my nickname, they call me T-Naz. So that's where the players call me. They'd be like, yo, T-Naz, you know. So I enjoy that because I don't want no title, because once you give me that title, then that means I need to be that guy. Because that's because the title is more than the title to me, the coach. So, you know, and as I continue to talk to kids and watch kids develop and turn into young adults, it's fun to watch them grow and it's fun to see them develop and they look at you and say, oh, I get it now. You know, but 3 years ago, coach, when you was talking, I thought you was crazy. You know, but then they actually get it. And I'm just happy to feel like I'm happy to know that I can be that male role model in their life. And I try to use that as much as possible.
Well, T-Naz, more power to you. So that explains also for me organic sports, organic with a K and sports with a Z. Yes. We'll talk about that a little later. But so you, I mean, kudos to what you just said. It's huge. And so what this is reminding me of is another thing is those years that you're talking about, that you have them, whether they're in high school or if you're working with them in college, those years could be the foundation if they didn't have a foundation, or could help them build a stronger foundation for the rest of their lives, because and for everything else in their lives, because not everybody's going to go on to become an NBA basketball player.
That is true. And, I have said before, it's less than 1% of people get to make it to the NBA. And now that percentage is getting less and less because of so many overseas players are now getting drafted in the NBA. So that percentage is getting less, like it's really getting really less. So kids' high school career, that can be their NBA. High school can be their NBA. They can be done after this. So I take my job very seriously because I know that if kids don't go on and go to college and play the game of basketball, at least they can say they had a great time and a great experience in high school.
And they learned some important things, like what?
Yeah.
Like what, Tyrone?
Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Oh, and they learned some important things from you and part of the team.
They learned the brotherhood, you know, because we preach on having a brotherhood. They learned to communicate with other teammates. They learn to be a good teammate. They learn to know that everything just don't go their way. They got to learn to adapt, which is very good. They learn to control their anger. They understand how to work together as a group. And because that's one thing I try to teach them when I say bigger than life, because I tell them, if you go and get a job, when you're done with high school or college, you get a job, you're going to work with some people that you do not like. Mm. But that don't mean you quit. You know, you just know how you reach out. I tell them, sometimes, guys, it's simple as going up, having a simple conversation and introducing yourself. You know, because sometimes people hear things about you that's not true. Mm. So sometimes you can just go up and introduce yourself. But that's where this whole, you know, bigger than basketball come in, because we really sit down and we mentor our kids as well to make sure that they understand that basketball brought us together. But we're doing more than just that. We want to make sure, you know, I made sure the kids that we had someone there to teach our kids when they after practice, we go to study hall. Our kids are learning. I had a sports psychologist on my staff for my kids. This is high school.
Well,
and our kids would go and meditate before they play the basketball game.
Wow.
And they would clear their mind. And this is stuff that I'm trying to prepare them for the real world.
Well, yeah.
You know, right. So it helps a lot.
It's not about winning the game this Friday kind of thing. It's winning the game of life.
Yeah, we don't look. You know, one thing about me and my kids will tell you that if you do what you're supposed to do, you're going to win the game. So we're not going to come out screaming about winning the game, win the game, win the game. I'm not going to get in your head and just all I'm going to talk about all week is winning the game. You know, I have this 10-hour rule. After every basketball game, all right, you allow to enjoy it for 10 hours or sit back and boohoo and cry about it because you lost for 10 hours.
Brilliant.
But after 10 hours, let it go because we're not going to sit back here and dwell on something that happened yesterday. We're not going to do that.
Mm. Mm.
So life our kids, excuse me?
Life moves on.
Life move on. That's what I want them to understand. Life move on. Like I would do stuff like when we lose a game and we all meet up to go watch film, I do stuff like order in pizza and bring pizza in. And they sitting there looking at me like, wow, we actually getting pizza after we lost?
Mm.
Mm. It's about just keeping them focused, moving on to the next thing.
Wow. And learning from, obviously, from the mistakes they made. You know, one of the things you were sharing that really struck a chord with me is they also learn how to fight for someone who's not their family. Wow.
Exactly. That's huge. That's huge. You know, it is something that I learned when I was young. Basketball, I started playing in eighth grade, but it taught me to be sociable. Like, I didn't really talk to people that much growing up until I started playing sports. So it did help me communicate. And you're right. You're fighting for your teammate. And it goes a long way, because that's the same thing you have to do when you're going out getting a job and you're working with people.
Mm-hmm.
You have to fight both of you. I mean, your whole employees, your coworkers, you got to work for your coworkers just as much as they're working hard for you.
So Tyrone, some people might hear this and say, you know, well, that sounds all good and fine, but mm-hmm. you know, they got to win that game. Well, they are winning the game. Tell us about what's happened at that high school you're talking about.
When I took over this high school, they was averaging 4 to 5 games a season that they was winning.
Mm-hmm.
So for that was going on for probably about four or five years. That was going on where they was averaging 4 or 5 wins. Well, when I came there, we end up being number 6 in the state. And these are the same group of kids, same area kids. I didn't go and recruit kids. These are the same kids from the same area. we end up winning the district championship, which is really big out here in PA. That's the first time in the school history. After we did that, the boys set a new three-point record, 303 threes. And it could have made more, but COVID shut us down. Mm. And we couldn't continue. We was in state. If we'd have won two more games, we could have won state. But COVID shut it all down. Then the boys was averaging 11 threes a game. And again, he's the same kids that didn't do anything. And then also, you know, I end up getting coach of the year in PA last year.
In like what? Were you even coaching? 3 years. 3 years at that point? You're right. Okay. Right.
Yeah, 3 years. I end up getting there. And I to be honest with you, I didn't know anything about the coach of the year. So when they called me, I was shocked. I was like, what do you mean, coach of the year? They're like, yeah, we get. I was like, I appreciate it. You know, I don't do it for the awards. You know, I do everything for these kids, man, because I feel everything that was taught to me and the gift that I have teaching the game and playing the game, you know, it's time to give back. And that's what I do.
Well, you do a lot, actually. I wrote down something about you saying a good coach sometimes can't sleep at night. And I know that happens, actually. But I think the reason it happens is for a different reason, like because we didn't win and we should have won. Where did we go wrong? What about you? How are you different in that way?
I mean, I'm one of them guys that I watch a lot of film. I always try to critique everything. You know, I'm always I like the kids to do things right. And me, there are nights I can't sleep. You know, there are nights I wake up at 2 a.m. Sometimes I go to the high school and pull up film. And all it's funny because the custodians that's there, they're like, coach, what are you doing here at 2 a.m? And they got used to me. You know, I started watching film a lot my first year. And then they realized, okay, that's just coach up there.
And respecting you, I'm sure.
Yeah, they respect what I was doing. But you know what? It was a shocker to the school because it was just basketball to them, but they didn't realize that we're changing lives here. We're giving kids opportunity to see the sport in a different light. You know, we're giving kids these opportunity to better themselves as they become adults. But you know, but the school kind of just seeing it as it's just basketball, and I'm like, ah, no, it's bigger than that. It's bigger than that, man. And once they seen the way that I approach the game and the way I set my players up and show them things and help them out. When they see that, then they realize, okay, this guy is he's not crazy. We're now seeing what he's trying to do. And once you get everybody on board, you get the administrators and everybody on board. Once they realize that what you're doing is working, then you start to form that family. And then now you got the family there. And once your family is there, you know, I told our guys, families argue with each other. But, you know, at the end of the day, we find a way to come back and we shake hands and we apologize and we move on. And all that these kids learn, you know, with the years I was there.
You know, I'm listening to you and I'm telling myself, I like to read books. And so I'm like, I want the book. I can't wait for the book, but sometimes the book comes out and then the movie, you're coming out with the movie first. So this fall there's going to be the Tyrone Nesby, documentary, and it's subtitled Stars of an Undrafted Pro.
Yeah. Story of an Undrafted Pro.
I can't read my writing. Okay. Story of an Undrafted Pro. It could have so many titles that go with it. This is exciting. And then you're starting a video podcast, and it's called Organic Sports. And that's organic with a K and sports with a Z at the end. So we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. And actually, the question I'm going to ask you when we come back right after this, I'm gonna ask you about, we've only got 40 minutes to play. That's another thing that struck me, because like some of us only have 40 years to play in this game of life. Some of us might have 80 or 100, but you know, it is a limited time. And so being able to make the most of this, I want to talk to you about that. But if you're all loving what you're hearing, like I'm sure you are, find Tyrone Nesby on Facebook, Twitter. It's Tyrone Nesby. Just put in Tyrone Nesby and you'll find him on Instagram, though. He is TNES08. That's TNES08. And then later on, we'll end up talking about the videos, or the video coming out, the video podcast, which is going to be released also, I think, this fall, Organic Sports. You can find that on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Organic with a K, and then Sports with a Z at the end. Tyrone, I look forward to more of our conversation when we come back. In our next segment, we're going to also have our Ask Dorothy question. And then in the segment after that, our musical guest, Ilana Lorraine, all on the Life Changer Show at Home Edition, right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA, with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online at lifechangesshow.com, via Twitter, Life Changes Show, and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo, and we're having a great conversation with Tyrone Nesby, retired NBA basketball player, basketball coach, and motivational speaker. I'm sure you're hearing it. This episode is doing it for the love of the game. And Tyrone, we've only got 40 minutes to play.
Right.
Talk to me about that.
You know, I say we only got 40 minutes to play because, you know, when I was in college, you know, we worked so hard. We go like 3.5 hours, like practice time. And we do that throughout the week. And then we work so hard to play them 40 minutes. Mm. And when you're out there, sometimes the 40 minutes go fast, sometimes they go slow. But then there's times where I didn't give it 100% in the 40 minutes.
Mm.
And then there's opportunities that I would, you know, tell myself, you know, you just wasted that game. Even though you still won, you wasted because you didn't give it all. There's times you could have rebounded. There's times you could have dove for the ball. There's so many times you could have performed a lot better, but you looked at your opponent and you backed off because they weren't that good. So you kind of thought that you can just relax, you know, and I learned in the course in that 40 minutes that you only got 40 minutes because I have watched people mess up their opportunity when you have a scout out there watching you from the NBA. And you took that 40 and you got that 40 minutes and you probably only played good 10 minutes out of that 40. And now they're sitting there looking the other way saying, well, I thought this kid was better than what he was. Mm. And then now you just waste it. So I tell kids, within them 40 minutes, you got to give your best. You got to go hard every night. You know, we go hard in practice. We got to translate what we do in practice into the game. So that 40 minutes is precious, man, because you never know watching. One thing, when I talk to Jordan, to Michael, I always talk to him all the time because I sat right behind him, actually right in front of him when we was on the bus, when we was on the plane. We basically sat right very close to each other, and I always had questions. And I, first thing I asked him, I said, Mike, what motivated you every night to just go play? You know, he said this, and it stuck with me. It stuck to me to this day. He said, there's always somebody first time coming to the game to come and watch me play. And the last thing I want that kid to do is reach out the gym and say, oh, he's a bust. He's not as good as y'all say he is.
Wow.
So he said that will motivate him to go out and play hard every night. And wow. I was like, huh. So it stuck with me. He says, always somebody will come in that gym that ain't never seen you play, like in real person, have not seen you play, and now they get opportunity, and then you don't give it your all, and now that person very upset. So, you know, so that 40 minutes is huge, man. It's huge. So I hope every kid, any kid that is listening, that this is college 40 minutes. I know in high school, I think it's 32 minutes. But when you're on the court, you give it your all. Even if you're not the star and the coach have you come in the game for a couple minutes here, a couple minutes there, just give it your all. Give it your all. Just go hard, go hard, go hard, because, you know, you got to have patience. Got to have patience. You know, your time will come. Just got to have patience.
Hmm. Well, we got to have patience, but in the fall, it's coming out. It's the Tyrone Nesby documentary and a story of an undrafted pro. And actually, that title refers to, you said something about if they're not calling your name, right?
Yes. Yes. You know, it is. So real quick, a lot of us, like some of the players that didn't get drafted, you know, we don't really talk about them. You know, the NBA don't talk about us. You know, it's mostly guys that's been drafted. So if you see most of the guys that are commentators and all that stuff, it makes them look good to know that they got the guy that went number three in the draft to be speaking to everybody. Mm. You know, that's just the way it goes. It's, you know, so we are a club inside of a club. You know, there's a lot of guys that made it to the NBA that didn't get drafted. So we always say it's a club inside of a club. And we have Ben Wallace, who's going to be the first undrafted pro to go into the Hall of Fame next year.
Wow.
Yeah, which is great for us. You know, yeah, so that was a big plus for us, just to honor a person like himself that played hard and didn't get drafted, that's doing what he needs to do to keep the undrafted players to be heard. So again, when I say don't call your name, is, you know, I have that moment sitting in the house. Actually, we was at the hotel with my family and looking at the draft, and my name didn't get called. When I have worked out with a couple of teams who kind of told me that they was going to pick me, you know, they told my agent that too, but it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. The first thing, you know, I did, of course, I walked out the room. I was a little upset, but the first thing I did the next day, I got out and ran. Just went out and run. And I was running and running and running and running. Then I went to the court and I just started working on my game.
You did your 10-hour rule on yourself.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. I really did. I really did it. And I didn't even know I was doing a 10-hour rule then, but I did it.
You did.
And so I talked to my agent, and we talked a little bit, and I asked him, what's next? You know, and he was like, oh, okay, let me get back with you. And,
well, no one's ever asked him that before.
exactly. Because, you know, one thing I go by, and I always go by this, is that, and people who know me, they know I would say this all the time, is we spend 10% on the problem, 90% on the solution. Hmm. So if it's the problem, we only give it 10% of our time. 90% is how we're going to correct this problem. So I live by that. That's how we do it. And so that's kind of how I did it when I was young too. And so I asked him, what's next? You know, he's like, oh, I'm going to get back with you or whatnot. And then finally got back with me and he's like, well, we got to try for a couple of teams. I said, let's do it. Let me get ready. And so that's what I did, man. And I went in and I played hard and I tried out for the Clippers and ended up making a team.
There you are.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, as you said earlier.
Yeah. Yes.
And a lot of hard work and a lot of confidence and gosh, sweat and all that stuff in between. Speaking of a problem, and I'm not going to spend more than 10% on it, but I remember why I can't read my writing. And I even told you during our talk, I was writing so fast because you were saying so many things. I'm like, that should be a book. That should be a blog. That should be a, and I'm writing all this stuff. So I there's so much more I have written down that I can't wait to have another conversation with you. Okay. It's not for today, but we won't have to wait long for the documentary. And soon after that, you're going to be releasing a video podcast, Organic mm-hmm. Sports. And so this will be for kids to learn from pros, right?
Yeah, well, it'll be more what Organic Sports is. It's like we're providing a platform for former and current players to allow them to tell their story, to hear their voice, and give their perspective. Mm. That's Organic Sports, you know. Okay. I'm just trying to put it in a nutshell. That's Organic Sports.
Yeah. And of course, it'll be bigger than that, too. But Instagram, Twitter and Facebook, you can find it at Organic with a K and Sports with a Z.
I like how you said that. Organic.
Yeah, I'm just making a point. Tyrone, thank you for all the points that you've made. I look forward to learning more in the documentary. And there are so many other topics that you're so eloquent on that are so important. In the meantime, the fact that we've had this time together, actually, when you're in the middle of a major move, you and your whole family, I have to say my hat's off to you. Thank you so much. But I'm glad you're moving closer to us.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Yeah, so, we will be. Las Vegas, baby.
Yeah, Las Vegas. All right, Tyrone, take care. Thank you so much again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy question.
Before that, we have a quick announcement. We wanted to give a shout out to the Magdalene Mastery Summit, which is happening July 26th through 25th, live with 14 speakers over 4 days, hosted by the Life Changes Show friend Stephanie Lodge. The summit will feature wisdom keepers, healers, and mystics dedicated to female empowerment. And the summit will also highlight a celebration of Magdalene on Clubhouse with several musicians gathering globally to celebrate the rising feminine consciousness, including tonight's musical guest that will be coming up after our Ask Dorothy segment. Tickets are still available at MagdalenMastery.com. Dear Dorothy, this is Jan from Los Angeles, and I am having a difficult time with many of my lifelong friends. Ever since the lockdowns began over a year ago, some of my friends are making what I feel are very unreasonable demands due to their fears. Even though I love them all very much, I feel that I have a right to my opinions and my choices, and I don't like to be pressured on a daily basis to conform to their ways and ideas as to what I should and shouldn't do during these challenging times. Some of my most loved and best friends are telling me that if I don't do as they suggest or think like they think, that this means I don't love them. It boggles my mind to hear such nonsense. I love my friends very much and have honored them by simply allowing them to make their choices without any criticism or judgment on my part. In the past, we were easily able to agree or disagree. And now if I don't do as they think I should, they accuse me of not loving them. I'm so confused and ask you to help me understand what is going on here.
Dear Jan, these very interesting times are bringing up major levels of confusion and lots of fear. What I sense is the real issue here is simply that your friends believe that love is knowing what is best for you. And because they love you, they're pushing you to conform to their ideas so that they can then believe you're safe. I too have many friends who are speaking so differently to me because they're buying into fear. And this has made me a little uncomfortable knowing that they are not at all okay with my choices. However, I choose to love them and let it be okay to have major differences of opinion as to what is best for me. Some have chosen to no longer communicate with me, and although I miss them, I still love them and have learned that I don't have to like our differences, and it is okay for now to live separate lives. With all of the confusion and fear being thrown our way, I've made it a point to thank our Mother, Father, God for the ability to speak from my higher self to the higher selves of the ones I love. I choose to go into daily meditations and ask for my higher self to be able to communicate with the higher selves, their higher selves, and then I let them know how much I truly love them and that I look forward to the days in the future when we will be on the same page again. And even if some of my loved ones are never able to be on the same page with me, I will love them always, and they will continue to live in my heart and be in my prayers for as long as I'm here on earth. Let's remember that no matter what our personal choices are, we are all divine children of God. So instead of living in confusion, I urge you to choose love, dear Jan, as it is from choosing love that we can co-create miracles.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our musical guest, Ilana Lorraine, on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We're back. I am Filippo, and there's so much I could say about our musical guest, and I'm just starting to get to know her. But at least we're all going to get to know her a little more right now. She's an artist, she's a songwriter, she's a producer. Ilana Lorraine, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much. It's so amazing to be here and listen to you guys. It's incredible.
Well, agreed, and it's amazing. Thank you, and it's amazing to have you with us. May I tell the audience what time it is you are right now?
Of course, you can.
It's almost like 4 o'clock in the morning, and to be on the show with us, Ilana has been up all night.
So well, I probably fell asleep for about like 10 minutes and then woke up to the inspirational talk. It's incredible.
You know, actually, and I love hearing you say that, because you recognize the inspiration, and you are the inspiration, and you inspire through your words, your music, and some of your amazing actions. So I don't even know where to start, but like so many people that are talented, did you put your talent aside to help others with their talent?
Yeah, actually, I did. I was always a singer from a young age, but I used to see so much talent around me, and I worked in the music industry actually for the last 20 years, and I devoted the last, I would say, maybe 13, 14 years to other artists, where I was like running live music events and creating spaces and platforms for artists to perform. There's so much talent in London. Oh my God, it's crazy.
Well, you did that in a very big, big way, and supported so many, many artists. And if I understand correctly, was it the COVID stay at home and all that situation that turned things around for you?
Yeah, in a way, yes, it was. It was actually, I was singing every now and then, but super insecure. And it was January last year and February when like things started to change and, you know, the whole COVID thing. And it was actually, it was a synchronicity. I was given the book, The Choice, to read, and which was actually about a Holocaust survivor. And it was at the same time as the whole like news around the world and COVID was coming in. And I was kind of feeling like super anxious with what was going on in the world, and reading the story at the same time, which is about a ballerina that had basically been forced to stop, you know, doing ballet as the Nazi regime kicked in Slovakia. Mm-hmm. And something about the world and what was happening just kind of pushed me to go out and perform. And actually, I went out into an ancient park here in London, and during lockdown, I went to sing. And though I was shy, in fact, I actually sat next to my speaker. I like literally didn't even stand up for my first performance, but I was singing in front of a huge like body of water. It was a huge boating lake, and didn't realize the power of the water and how it was able to amplify my sounds and carry it around the whole area. So while I was like sitting there singing shy, people were hearing my music and coming up to me, and I was meeting lots of passers-by. And it was actually because of the passers-by and their reaction and their gratitude and their stories that led me to keep singing. So I sang because I felt like it was my purpose every day for 3 months during the lockdown. Mm. And I'm so like grateful I did. I met so many passers-by. I got to hear so many people's stories. And, you know, when music had kind of come to a bit of an end in London and, you know, everything was obviously stopped, I felt it was really necessary to keep singing.
Wow. Well, you didn't just meet passerbys. You met people that you invited to sit down and take a moment and take in.
Yeah.
What was it? Like you bought blankets or something, I heard.
Yeah. So basically, after the first day, I actually met another girl who was slacklining, and we got chatting, and we found out that we were both kind of there. Like, it was our kind of healing for our anxiety, and we both wanted to really help the community. And each day we would meet there, and we started to like put fairy lights in the trees, hang our quotes. I was like writing my lyrics on paper and hanging them from the trees. And I bought blankets and I put them 2 meters apart and just welcomed the passers-by to sit down. And it actually ended up evolving into a festival, because I had one friend of mine that was doing yoga for passers-by twice a day. And then we had a sound healer. We started doing meditations. I did this incredible thing called the Tunnel of Love, which is where you sit people down. Obviously, we were distanced, but the idea was that you compliment one person. It was incredible. And it's like everyone compliments one person at a time. And it was just hugely bringing kind of empowerment. And yeah, so we did that, but it actually like grew. I met over 500 people, and we've actually, well, we've been written about in a book that comes out in October.
Wow. Well, they'd all be listening, but I don't know if they set their alarms for 4 o'clock in the morning, but hopefully they'll get to listen to it when this show is in the archives. And it sounds like you didn't know the power of the water to carry your voice, and you didn't know the power of your voice to inspire and connect with people's hearts.
Yeah. Do you know, because I used to, one of the things I used to do was to like put really well-known artists on stage, and I used to put a lot of like R&B singers and gospel singers on stage, and I used to listen to their voices and think, oh my gosh, like that's a voice. And I have like a bit of a different voice, as you can hear.
As we can enjoy, yes. Mark and I were talking about you actually, and Mark said, I could listen to her all day.
Really? Oh my gosh.
Of course. Well, yes.
I never felt that though. And it was.
Amy felt that way about you. Obviously, she came to hear you. Amy Winehouse, people.
She did. She didn't come to see me. I mean, she did, but she came to support the charity that I was singing for. So it was more about the charity, actually.
But after you were done singing, she came up to you to talk to you.
Yeah, this is true. So we had a jam
and sing with you.
And sing with me backstage. So there's a video, actually, a really, really like a phone video that's on YouTube. So you can check that out.
Well, I want people to hear, you were so gracious to say you were going to do it live, but my gosh, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. we do have two recordings that we're going to get to play. The first one has been heard before because it's from Ilana's first CD. The second one that she's going to let us hear tonight, it has not been heard ever, right?
Yeah, it's never been played on radio.
Right, because it's not out yet. So let's go with the first one first. So what were you saying in this song? Because the word. Powerful.
This is super interesting because, you know, I just told you, like, I read the book The Choice, and that was what led me to go and sing in the park. Well, the crazy thing here is this song is called I Choose Life. I wrote it 10 years ago, and the music video is a video where I'm in a park alone, and by the end of the video, there's loads of people as a community dancing with me. So it's almost as if I manifest in the song what happened this summer. And the song is I Choose Life.
Because you're a manifester. Here is Ilana Lorraine's song, I Choose Life, live on the Life. We're live. The song is pre-recorded, and you'll enjoy it here on the Life Changes Show.
By. So I pray that I was let me feel.
Wow.
Do you know what? It's like, I really, the reason I wanted you to play that is because of the message of the song. Because, you know, we all come back to life now. Now is the time we're coming out of lockdown. And I really want to empower people to be themselves and realize how wealthy they are and how rich they are with the fact that they are themselves. So that's what that song's about. And I'm actually thinking of doing another version of it, so like a kind of more updated version. So watch that, this space.
Well, we'll watch for that. I like this version. I was visualizing, I know you're a fan of this, Alana, visualization. I was visualizing you marching with a whole band behind you and the audience following you around around wherever they are, all singing that I am rich, I choose life, I feel wonderful with me. I mean, what a mantra. What a mantra, and what a change making statement, and what a change maker you are. Let me tell where people can find you. Lorraine is all over YouTube. I'm sorry, Ilana. I was in my visualization. I have to come back.
Come back.
Ilana, Lorraine, thank you for taking me so far. So on LinkedIn, Ilana Lorraine on in Blogspot, on YouTube, it's Ilana Lorraine. I'll spell it for you: Ilana, and then Lorraine. Ilana Lorraine. Anywhere else on Twitter as well, right? Ilana Lorraine.
Yeah, I mean, I mainly actually use. Currently, I'm using like Instagram mainly, and I run a room called 1111 on Clubhouse. And the website is on its way.
Oh, okay, yeah, right. And so let us know when you have updates so we can update, and let us know when you're in town so we can see each other. And now let us know what we're gonna get to hear. Oh, before you do that, you know, I have to say that. I love the story of you singing and the fact that organically was created a festival, and it sounded like community, right?
Yeah, I love the idea of people collaborating, coming together. I think that the way that we are going to change this world and ourselves is through trading love and connection and helping each other.
You not only won the people that wanted to be won over, you won people who were thinking that they had to keep law and order, or however you want to say it, in the park by saying, did you actually get arrested, or they just moved you?
I just seemed, the police kind of loved and hated me at the same time. Like, basically, it was totally against the bylaws that we were we were there. But I mean, the bylaws are out of date. And it wasn't just that. It was the fact that they were seeing that people were connecting. And they were saying to us, I'm so sorry, but this can't happen. They were actually saying that we were creating an encampment, which we were really not. But basically, it got so popular with the community, like, you know, the community that would walk there every day, they just really didn't connect. And now that, you know, we'd put together these workshops and spaces with distance and all of that, it just caught the eye of the constabulary. And though they turned a blind eye on my singing, they actually, they basically tried to ban us because of the impact we were creating in the park. I think they were worried that we were actually going to create some kind of like Woodstock or something.
Nice. Basically. Nice. Yeah. I like that. Let's visualize that. Okay.
I think we were creating a Woodstock. Evidently.
well, it's not over.
It's not over.
All you need to do is get a little sleep and then start over again.
Oh, well, actually, we're going back there tomorrow. So you're we've got our first yoga class this year tomorrow.
Oh, nice. Oh, my gosh. And you're with us right now. Oh, at 5:45, whatever.
Yeah. Don't worry, it's at sunset.
Well, let's do this. Tell us about this next song, and we're gonna get the privilege of having the world premiere from your next album.
Yeah, this is my forthcoming single. So, this song was written at a festival called the Secret Garden Party, where it's a really beautiful concept because the festival was all about the Wizard of Oz. It was the theme. And it was actually just after I'd bought a pair of ruby slippers that I was walking through the fields and I stumbled. This is real, by the way. I stumbled upon a piano in the fields and I wrote this song on that piano in the middle of the fields.
Is that the picture? There's a picture of you and a piano.
That picture was taken in Israel. But that, interestingly, I also stumbled upon a piano in a desert in Israel. So I seem to stumble upon pianos in random places, literally. Okay. So, yeah. But it was inspired by, actually, I was married and had a challenging relationship. And it was inspired by that. It was inspired by the fact that I really wanted to give love to a partner that was going through a challenging time. And it was that, you know, the words at the beginning are like, oh, my baby soul, tell me how to light your fire. Tell me what your soul desires for this love. And you'll hear the rest of the lyrics in the song. But it's now a message for the world, really, for us to realize that there is love all around us and to spread the message of hope.
And the title?
Oh, sorry. The title is Reason Why. The Reason Why.
The Reason Why. Okay, well, here is The Reason Why, Ilana Lorraine's song on the Life Changes Show.
could become one, complete. Melt down walls, find out, retreat in this life.
So beautiful. You know, I was just reading the most anticipated forthcoming album maintains the same themes of innocence, wonder, empowerment, and it feels nostalgic, taking you back in time. It took me, I don't know if it was back or forward, or inside out, or but, you know, thank you for taking me there. Thank you for taking us there. Whether it's the video or the garden or the light, there's something like you're going to take us all someplace, one way or another. So thank you for showing up. Ilana.
Thank you. This is so meant to be, and I'm so grateful to have met you guys, and what you're doing is so special. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, thank you. And we're so grateful to Stephanie Lodge for introducing us. And once again, Ilana Lorraine, she's all over social media, especially on Instagram, ILANALORRAINE. What a pleasure. I can't wait to connect again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
And good night.
Good night. And good night. That, sweet dreams. Sweet dreams. Manifest.
And that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Leger, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.